Welcome to Stand Tall. This episode's a bit different to our usual conversations. Today I'm really excited to share my own Stand Tall moment with you. Back in April, I travelled to Malawi to lead a women's partnership challenge with Orbis Expeditions.
Hi, my name is Ino. I'm the managing director of Orbis based in Blantyre, Malawi. We are a travel company that specialises in experiential travel, philanthropic, and really just impact trips to Malawi, especially for group travel. Specifically on the impact trips, like the current one that we have running in Malawi for 10 women from the UK and the US, it's a true demonstration of what we do and a true demonstration of what sustainable tourism really underpins.
The 10-day trip is for women of all ages and backgrounds who itch to have a real purpose in their travel. From a wildlife safari and eco-island stay to partnerships with female entrepreneurs and schoolchildren, each experience is designed to benefit the local people, economy and the environment. But the trip also aims to take travellers out of their comfort zones with personal challenges, including a hike up Malawi's highest mountain. This really was an adventure of a lifetime and I feel incredibly lucky to be able to share my experiences with you. I hope you enjoy listening to the sounds I captured during my time there. So my first trip to Malawi was in 2019 and I was there with Kate Webb, the founder of Orbis Expeditions. That was my first experience of travelling to Africa. It was definitely a Stand Tall moment for me when I'd been the regional chair for Women in Property in 2017, and I'd spent a lot of my career up to that point supporting women in the construction industry. And I think I was having a moment in life that I was trying to think about, well, what do I want to get from my life? And this is part of the reason behind the trip. A number of the women that travel are at certain points in their lives. They want to give something back to themselves, as well as giving something to the communities that we support whilst we're out there and go to meet. So this definitely was a, okay, deep breath. Take a moment. This is quite an extraordinary place to travel to. It has its own challenges, let alone taking malaria tablets and trying to work out, do you take the go and have the rabies jab or not? And all of those kind of risks that you take traveling to, you know, extraordinary places. But that was, I'd say, almost life-changing. It was such an incredible experience. So I came back from that trip in 2019 thinking, that can't be the only time that I go to Malawi. So I signed up again and went back in 2023 to actually lead the trip. And this time I was joined by 9 fantastic ladies, some who I already knew from the property and construction industry, like my colleague Kate Mills from Stride Clown, but also people who were traveling from America. So Kendra, who is a finance manager at Amazon, joined us. But 3 of the people I hadn't met before. It was really great because we had a real mix of people from all different industries and disciplines who each brought their own life experiences and unique skills to the trip.
There is a belief that Magic Mountain has spirits. The history says that many years ago, our parents, when they are walking in the mountain, they might have to find well-prepared food, the big bunch of the banana.
So a number of people ask me, where is Malawi? I think actually in the last few years, it has become probably a better known country. But Malawi is on the east side of Africa. It's actually inland. So although images that you see of Malawi, which quite a considerable amount of the country is Lake Malawi, that is a lake and it's not the ocean. So it's landlocked. It borders Zambia to the west and Mozambique to the east, and then to the north is Tanzania. So it's quite a long, long, thin slice of a country, and it's one of the most poorest countries in the world. Life out there, I'd say, on the whole, is pretty simple, but it is known as the warm heart of Africa. Certainly from what I took away from that, it's the community spirit. It's the support networks that everyone has around them there. and the positivity that you take away from a pretty simple life. So to get to Malawi, we flew from Heathrow and had about a 7-hour flight into Addis Ababa in Ethiopia. From there, we flew down to Zambia, and then we had a quick flight into Blantyre, the second biggest city in Malawi. It's such a relief when you land after a long flight, and we were met at the airport by Ken, our Orbis guide for the trip, and off we went in the minibus to our first destination. Yeah, so once we're in the minibus, we have a bit of a journey from the airport through Blantyre, so we skirt the edge of the city, and we're heading to Huntington House, which is the old grand tea estate home. This is the first opportunity to really sort of start to get to know the fellow travellers in the group. So that first evening, there is almighty noise and chatter and laughter and swapping stories and travel experiences and most importantly, checking in on that first day.
How many followers has the dog got?
So in Malawi, the main exports are tea, coffee and tobacco. The Cholo tea estate that we are on is extraordinary. It's extremely vast. It's one of the oldest tea estates in Malawi from the early 1900s. And it's beautiful. So there's loads and loads of little buildings in amongst the tea estate, and they support the workers in healthcare and schooling, and it's amazing the structure that they have there to support the staff that essentially work on the tea estate. So we have a bit of downtime, and then we start to travel up to the top of the tea estate, and this is quite a high, very, very uneven, muddy, rocky road. And we're driven up there. And we're not just driven up there in a van or a car or even our minibus. So the minibus wouldn't be able to get up there. But we're travelling up there in essentially a pickup truck. And when you think there's 10 of us in the group, there are two women in the main part of the truck. And then the rest of us are in the back of the truck on some comfy, slightly padded seats, bouncing around absolutely in fits of laughter, leading up to the top of this tea estate, which is absolutely beautiful. It has the most incredible view out towards where we're heading for our mountain climb, so out to Mount Malanje, but also out to the far distance, out down to the Shire and the rivers and the valleys below. And it was a beautiful sunset. We've put our order in for our drinks. So some people are having a Malawi gin and tonic or a kucha kucha, which is their beer. And we just take it in. So there's a bit of self-reflection time for just going and stepping out away from the group and absorbing the views.
Do you know there's no secret with that fuzzy thing there?
It's hilarious. We need a name for him. Michael the microphone or something. We're taking the
mic. Marvin.
Mike or Marvin or yeah.
This is when we lost it in the van.
The journey down is as dramatic and fun and crazy as the journey up. It's dark by that point and the stars are coming out and there's very little electricity in the country. So when it's dark, it's super dark and the stars come out and it's absolutely extraordinary. And so we get back to Huntington, all super energised and excited, and we have our tea and then get a bit of an early night ready for the next day of workshops. So on our first full day, we head over to Blantyre City to Orbis Expeditions headquarters, which is where we're hosting 2 days of workshops with local businesswomen. The variety of people both on our side, from the ladies travelling there to the businesswomen who live there, is quite vast from all different industries. And the businesswomen come miles from Blantyre, so they could be travelling up to 4 hours or so to get to these workshops. And we will have spent time before in the lead up to the trip talking through the types of workshops that we feel that we can skill share with. So there was workshops on finance, workshops on marketing and social media. there was workshops on essentially empowerment and leading teams. So for the business women in Malawi, they have no other networking opportunities, no other real way outside of their own communities of gathering lots of people together regularly. So that for us is the real excitement, that bringing people together that can talk about what their ambitions are, what they're trying to achieve, what their struggles are, and how that people can help each other. So we actually got them to do like an elevator pitch to introduce themselves to the group, and most importantly to each other. And you can see their eyes light up when they see that Florence from across the side of the room is a farmer who has loads of chickens, and then the other lady in the room who has a farm shop, and they kind of connect.
Women, we are actually doing better things. We're actually doing good things. But most of the times we are thinking that maybe we are not doing enough. So, yeah, I've learned that we are strong women. We are really doing a lot. So coming to this workshop anyway in Hall, I would say it was an eye-opener. And it, apart from being an eye-opener, at least I've opened up to so new many friends. People, new friends, like from here and even abroad. I know I'll reach anyway places because of this, because I know this is just the beginning.
So there were a number of participants, as I say, from all different areas, industries. Trinitas has been someone who has attended a number of the workshops. So Trinitas had set up a business which was essentially supporting ladies, girls through their periods, and with a reusable sanitary towel.
Every time I hear this group of women coming, I'm always excited to come and attend, because every time I go back with a different skill altogether, it's overwhelming. I can't even pick up just one thing that has excited me, but also I've learned from that. A lot of times, especially the past 2 years, I felt like I'm a failure, like total failure. So today on Empowerment, we're talking a session about the strength that we have and also looking at the successes that we've had for the past 2 to 5 years. And I paused because I didn't think I had any success. Yeah, but then when the facilitators came in and walked us through and also showed us the positive side of our lives, I realized that I've had a lot of milestones achieved and that I needed to celebrate them.
So Trinitas comes with a massive energy and excitement. You know, she's taken a really entrepreneurial idea through early stages of a business and developed that. The thing that they, I think, struggle with is essentially just how do they market themselves? They are obviously very focused on their communities that they are within, but that's quite a small market. So they're always excited and interested about how they widen out their market. Data over there is super expensive. So, of course, the time that they spend working on social media and that side has to be very focused. The other aspects is actually just kind of as a female in industry, how have they coped? How have they managed with what is quite a male-dominated world? The women are very much there for family. So, you know, these women are really kind of trying to build themselves alive so that they can get a salary and support their families.
I'm Jess Gondwe. I'm a single mother of two. It has helped me in having a different face of how I look at myself, my self-esteem, my self-love, because initially I didn't realize that I needed more time for myself, and I've gained that through this workshop. I didn't know what to expect when coming here. I was like, okay, I'm a business lady, I'm going for a workshop, let's see how it goes, but I've learned a lot.
There's always someone in the room that's done something that someone really value. And it's having the space just to kind of talk and share that. As I say, there was just laughter and noise and chatter and excitement. And I think everyone just kind of came away from that totally buzzing. So the mountain hike, Mount Melangi, this was one of, I mean, there's loads of highlights on this trip, but this was one of my highlights. I love being outdoors. I love walking. So Mount Melangi is a massive granite outcrop. A majority of, you know, around the tea estates and everything is quite flat, but then you see this incredible outcrop of rock, and that is the mountain. It's about 40-minute drive from Huntington as we approach Mount Melangi, and you can tell that the sound in the minibus starts to kind of dwindle as people look ahead and see Mount Melangi approaching, thinking, is that what we're walking? This is the personal challenge part of the trip. So we arrive at the base of Mount Melangi and we meet the group that are hiking as our support team with us. So they are a team of cooks and medics and porters carrying the equipment that we might need. So we've packed a rucksack with sleeping bags and importantly, layers for the evening. It gets very cold in the evening up on the mountain. So we only hike with a day pack. But I felt really guilty that I was handing these guys my pack and asking them to carry it. But remembering why we're there, this trip is about supporting the local economy. They get paid to do this. This is their livelihood. And they are extraordinary people. There were a couple of the guys that I'd walked with in 2019, and they came up to me and said, "Hi, Rachel, you're back," which was magical. So we knew that this was going to be quite an adventure. Maybe not all of us in the group knew how much of an adventure. And certainly within an hour of our first hike there, we could see that some people were perhaps struggling and questioning about their ability. And I think what comes across then is that people are more worried about how they're affecting the rest of the team. So within about an hour, hour and a half, we actually decided that a couple in the group were uneasy about what they were experiencing. So a couple of the porters and cook and one of the group walker leaders split off a group. And because I think the relief of not having the pressure of the rest of the group, they carried on and had the most amazing time walking to the lower hut. So for the rest of us, we had about 8 or 9 hours of hiking. It was pretty tough, even for someone who loves hiking and does a lot of it. It was tough. And the heat, it was a pretty dry heat. We're kind of starting up through some trees and woodland, but then you come up onto a plateau. And I described this previously as kind of Dartmoor on steroids. So we're constantly climbing, clambering over big rocks. It's not walking on easy terrain, but we carry on and we carry on into the dark, and we can just about see the hut that we're aiming for in the distance. That was probably when I felt most uneasy and thinking, crikey, this isn't the best. When the sun goes down, and it goes down really quickly, and all of a sudden we're in the dark and walking on this difficult terrain, thinking we've still got like half an hour, 20 minutes to get to the hut. But we get to the hut.
There is a belief that Manji Mountain has spirits.
We sit around the campfire, we have some extraordinary food, we listen to Patrick and the team talk about some of their stories and some of the myths and legends of Mount Melangi. So Melangi is known as the island in the sky.
Manji Mountain, I've got spirits. The spirits starts fire in the mountain for them to create the path to pass.
But it's gorgeous. So that is the most stunning night sky that I've seen. Just no light pollution, obviously. And it's just beautiful. So you sit out and just watch the stars and take it all in.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yep. If we can use the Chaparoga, we will be on risk and hazard. So
and the next morning, again, we get ready to walk down the last bit back to the base camp. Everyone, when we reach the bottom, is elated. And so thrilled that they've conquered the Mount Melange challenge.
I'd go and do it again.
Wow, no, that's good.
So after the mountain hike, we head straight over to the safari camp. Quite interesting, though, that we'd actually been double booked, and so the whole group, apart from myself, got upgraded to the lodge accommodation, which was extraordinary. You're thinking kind of 5-star level of accommodation in the most incredible safari camp. Some ladies, their rooms were next to the hippo commuter line, essentially. So they were warned about hippos might actually walk between their bedroom and their bathroom through the night, which obviously kind of sets yourself slightly on edge. But they were given alarms and drums and things to alert the staff in the camp if anything happened. I had the option of sharing a room with one of the ladies in the group, but by that point, because we'd been in quite close proximity, you know, all sharing the same room on the mountain, as the group leader, I was definitely feeling under a lot of pressure, and I felt at that point I really just needed my own space. So I got taken down to the main camp, which essentially was a scout canvas tent. I had no drum. I had no hooter or alarm. I had a bed and a side table and a light, which was great. But at 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning, when there is something munching literally next to your ear, and you're thinking, what on earth is that? I did sit up bolt upright and think, what do I do? Because there's no one around me. I did panic slightly then, but I actually got the sound recorder out to see if I could capture just the noises. So you had noises of birds and you could hear the elephants in the distance. And as I said, this munching was almightily intense. And I literally felt as though it was right at my ear. But I managed to get a bit of sleep and woke up alive, and the tent was still intact. And then I found out that those were the hippos munching at my tent the morning after. That was one of the most extraordinary camping experiences that I've had. We were up probably about 4:30, 4:45. So it was still slightly dark and the sun was just rising. And we got on these big Land Rover vehicles. And we headed off on a safari kind of game drive. We saw lots of impala and lots of other antelopes and warthogs and birds and various other animals.
There's a crocodile.
Oh, yeah. Oh. On the bank.
And then they spotted one of the lion tracks in the dust on the road. And so they kind of travelled down into more of the safari ground, and we actually saw the lion family with a big lion and 3 little cubs, and they sat and watched us and we sat and watched them, and then the family just disappeared off and we left them to it. That was extraordinary.
All right.
Yeah,
amazing.
Better than all right.
And we got back in the van, in the minibus, to head off to the edge of the lake, up to Makakola Retreat, which is up towards Rainbow Hope Secondary School. Now we hear from Joseph, a social worker, who's essentially helped set up the school.
But let me say that we are indeed very, very grateful that you visited us within your very busy schedule. We know that you have a lot of places where you would like to go, but you decided to spend a day here. Normally we invest in something that we expect a return, but you are investing in students that you are not even expecting any return. The only thing that you are expecting is that they improve their lives. The only thing that we're expecting is that they have a brighter future. The only thing that we're expecting is that they start thinking big about themselves and about their families.
Rainbow Hope was, again, another highlight. The kids there are extraordinary. Children in Malawi, when they get to secondary school, have to pay for their education. So on the basis of that, they tend not to have a consistent education. They might start when they're 12, 13 years old, but they dip in and out as and when they can afford it. So you get children of all ages into young adults. So we met a number of the students. We had a tour around the school to see some of the outlying facilities that are there to support the school. So a number of the girls board at the school. This again helps them essentially in their education, takes them away from some of the family typical kind of commitments. So when I was there first, the girls were sleeping on the floor in these very basic accommodation blocks. And we supported getting some bunk beds for the girls. So walking into the dormitory, seeing how decorated and how lived in that this dormitory now looks with all the bunk beds was extraordinary, knowing that we'd helped support that on our previous trip. And then we went into running a workshop, which was called Mission H2O. And it was around the new water source that they had and how they could market and sell water pouches to the local community.
Our name of our company is 100% Pure. We're having a product of water, 100% pure, as the name says. And the place of our water is affordable. It's just 350 watts per package. And we are packaging in small carton bottles.
Every day what I have to do. The next day as we were leaving the hotel, driving past and waving outside the minibus and the school waving back to us and hoping that we'd made a difference and given them something to aim for and think about for their futures. The final part of the trip is very much time for yourself and that time to relax. So we head off. We're on a very, very small boat on Lake Malawi. And Lake Malawi is vast. And we're on this boat for 40, 50 minutes. We go past a few other islands and we approach Mumbo Island. The first impression, you see this quite large reed hut on the sort of outcrop of this island. And that actually ends up being the hut that I share. Got goosebumps just talking about it, just kind of taking the sounds and just... We were constantly just sighing because it was like, this is just extraordinary. On the island, there is very little to do. So we had time to really kind of luxuriate in this location, sitting on the beach, reading books, kayaking, swimming. It is quite an experience just to be so remote, off grid. And then we travel back on the boat after two nights on the island onto the minibus. And we have the long journey. It's about 4 or 5 hours to Lilongwe Airport. And that's where we're heading out. Obviously, people ask you, what do you take away from these experiences? And you remember why you're doing it. So we're supporting tourism over there. We're supporting and skill sharing. But for me, certainly the aspects that I come back to the UK and you then look at your life and you think, God, we've got so much stuff. We worry about so many things that actually we don't need to be thinking too much about this. I think I take that quite a lot from the experiences that I've had. For people that have very little and simple way of existence, that they are extraordinary and extremely positive and entrepreneurial and think very differently. It puts everything into question, to be honest, but it's a nice way of starting to readdress how you may live your life and actually the purpose of what you do and how you share what skills you have. And I think the thing that most of the team took away was lifelong friendships. And yeah, just that kind of friendship and shared experience that people take away from the trip, as well as just experiencing the warm heart of Africa, everything that that has to offer.
So I'm Judy Greenwood. So heading up Regeneration Brainery, I think that the trip was always a personal challenge for me. Every day just brought something different. It made me reflect a lot. Obviously, because I work with young people, that school day was particularly poignant.
Hello, my name's Hannah Richardson. I am planning director at Sporfus, planning consultant working in Leeds. Was a little bit nervous, particularly about the hike, but the highlight, I think, for me was the safari. I loved the safari. I love animals anyway, but it was really fantastic to see them in the wild. And I also really enjoyed the business women's workshops, really getting to know some of those ladies, the challenges they face. And actually, I had a little bit of imposter syndrome myself from hearing their stories, and actually it was a very much a two-way conversation. We could learn from them.
Hi, my name is Natasha McIntyre Hall. I'm a development manager and I work for Gleeds. Just come back from Malawi and my brain is still a little discombobulated, and we're still trying to figure out the things that I felt and the things that I learnt, because sometimes they feel a little bit separate from each other. I love meeting people, I love doing activities, and I like moving around and really seeing a place. So it ticked all of the boxes for that. And then it also went over and above by figuring out how I could actually help, which is really powerful. I get so fed up reading newspapers and hearing all these awful things and never knowing how actually I have the ability to do something about it. So having it all packaged up into something I could do well was amazing.
I think the trips are absolutely extraordinary, and I'm really looking forward to heading back and taking more people over to experience it for themselves as well. Orbis is very clear that it's not about giving aid to people in the country. This is about supporting the tourism industry and supporting people's livelihoods that are connected to the tourism industry. And so by taking these trips out there, we are supporting the hotels and the people that work in those hotels and the communities around those places and the porters on the mountain. So that's why I feel that, you know, going back and supporting these trips helps support a country which I've fallen in love with. Thanks for joining me today. I hope you've enjoyed hearing the sounds from Malawi. I'm thrilled to be leading another Women's Partnership Challenge trip in April 2024. Applications are now open, so if you feel inspired to join me in Malawi, please head to Orbis Expeditions website where you can find more information. If you're interested to learn more about Orbis Expeditions, why not head back to season one of the podcast and check out my Stand Tall conversation with founder Kate Webb. Thanks to Stride Treglown for sponsoring this podcast. Links and resources from today's episode are in the show notes. If you'd like any further information, please visit stridetreglown.com or get in touch by connecting with Stride Treglown on social media. You can follow me and let me know what you think of the show at @RachelJ_Bell across Twitter and Instagram or LinkedIn. Stand tall and talk soon.